Public News Service Daily Newscast for Friday, November the 30th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. Michael Cohen pleads guilty in a plea deal that involves Trump efforts to do business in Russia. Also on the Friday rundown, new efforts to repeal New Mexico's old abortion law, plus studying ways to reduce Arizona's searing heat island. Topping our news, Bloomberg sizes it up this way. The key revelation of Michael Cohen's new guilty plea is this. Justice Department Special Counsel Robert Mueller is a step closer to showing links between Donald Trump's business interest in Russia and his conduct as a candidate for president. They note that the criminal information filed by prosecutors states that in a period that lasted until the middle of June 2016, Cohen asked press secretary to Russia's President Vladimir Putin for a meeting with Putin in Russia as part of a deal that would have led to a Trump Tower being built in Moscow. Bloomberg notes, according to the document, Cohen spoke to Trump about the deal more than three times during that period and asked both Trump and other senior campaign officials about a Trump trip to Russia in connection with that deal. With a more conservative U.S. Supreme Court, Ros Brown's been talking with state activists who want to make sure that abortion will remain legal in New Mexico, no matter what happens at the national level.
New Mexico is one of nine states with laws in the books that precede the 1973 U.S. Supreme Court ruling that made abortion legal. Nonetheless, the Roe v. Wade decision has been repeatedly challenged, and many legislatures have imposed severe restrictions. Denisha Cadena with Young Women United is leading the group Respect New Mexico Women. She says multiple advocacy organizations and faith leaders are behind the repeal of New Mexico's state law.
This will be the first session that we are really in active mobilization with communities from across New Mexico to get this bill passed. And so this is an issue that should matter to every legislator because it's really about safety and well-being of New Mexico families.
Democratic State Representative Joanne Ferrari will sponsor the bill at the Roundhouse and has said she hopes to file it in mid-December.
New Mexico's current law makes it a fourth-degree felony for physicians to perform abortions except in cases of rape, incest, or likely birth defects, or to protect the life of the mother. And Tim Scott has done it again, that from Politico. They report the South Carolina Republican will oppose Thomas Farr to be a district court judge, effectively killing the nomination on the Senate floor. Politico adds it is the second judge that the Senate's lone African-American GOP senator has tanked this year over their views and actions on race. Kentucky advocates for sexual and domestic assault survivors are gathering in Lexington to reflect on their successes of the year and also examine what's needed in the future. More on that from Mary Sherman.
The three-day Ending Sexual Assault and Domestic Violence Conference wraps up today with special awards for people who have gone above and beyond to help victims. Executive Director of the Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs, Eileen Rechtenwald, says that includes kudos for Senator Julie Rocky Adams and Senator Morgan McGarvey.
Two legislators are receiving Champions for Justice Awards. They both passed legislation that positively affected the lives of victims of sexual assault and domestic violence.
Adams helped pass new laws that equalize the penalties for all forms of non-consensual acts of sexual penetration and added protections for young people from potentially dangerous marriages. And McGarvey was honored for sponsoring a bill to clarify that a victim of domestic violence is not required to pay the legal fees of the abusive spouse in a divorce when the spouse is incarcerated for crimes against the petitioner.
And the Smithsonian is partnering with American Prairie Reserve to research and restore one of the country's most treasured landscapes. Here's Eric Tegedoff.
The Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute does science and conservation work around the world and is bringing that expertise to APR's reserve in northeastern Montana. Before European settlement, more than 40% of North America was prairie and home to about 60 million bison. Only a fraction of that terrain and species remain. Bill McShay, a wildlife ecologist with the Smithsonian who studies grasslands around the world, says he's excited to look at this landscape in North America for the first time.
It has a unique suite of species, and it's something that is being restored. And we're always interested in places that are being restored to some historical condition.
Over the next 3 years, McShay says his organization will be getting its bearings. After that, the hope is to partner with APR and other organizations to restore some species that roam the northern Great Plains, such as bison and the black-footed ferret, the most endangered mammal in North America.
And finally, Mark Richardson tells us government leaders and climate scientists are looking for ways to mitigate temperatures in the Phoenix area and the so-called heat island.
Public health officials say more than 150 deaths were attributed to the intense heat this summer, a number that has risen steadily for the past decade. Maricopa County officials have teamed up with Arizona State University's School of Sustainable Engineering to develop ways to cut the heat and improve air quality. ASU professor Matthew Frazier says they're looking to develop new materials that don't hold heat like traditional building materials such as concrete, glass, and steel.
We're looking both at alternatives to paving, things like porous paving or paving coatings, which would reflect some of the heat. We're looking at understanding the interactions between paving and building materials because sunlight reflected off of paving often impacts on buildings.
This summer, the region saw 128 days of temperatures over 100 degrees, with 22 days hitting 110 or higher. But Frazier says the real problem isn't the daytime heat, but overnights, where the average low temperature has increased by 17 degrees in the past few decades.
By the way, Phoenix is one of the hottest large cities in the country. There are dozens of others in the U.S. and around the world with similar climates that could benefit from this research. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for wrapping up your week, newsing and cruising with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.